Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. It is Friday, folks, and round number one. It's going to be a good one because, guys, I need you to all sit down. We just got a rough bit of news.
Whoa,
CBS's unbelievable show about Marines and their JAG lawyers has actually been, wait for it, folks, it's been canceled.
No! What?
What? The code?
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the code is canceled.
Are you talking about the
on the precipice of Emmy season?
Yeah, CBS is starring Luke Mitchell, the code, it's canceled.
I don't know. You know what? I'm done. I'm not doing today's
episode.
Yeah,
I don't think I could do
it. That was my
today.
Favorite show.
We loved that show.
God damn it.
How could it fail?
Round number two. According to recent events, the Navy SEALs have been partying hard, and now they're in hot water. We're going to tell you why their CO told them they needed to get out of Iraq. You need to get out.
Get out of here. Get out.
Round number three. Get in, bitches. We're going fucking shopping.
Bitches be shopping.
Suckle on our teat of knowledge so we can tell you about the change that would have more than 3 million people get added access to those sweet, sweet commissary deals. Round number four, hey Boots, grab your fucking cowboy boots. We've got country legend Trace Atkins on the show to talk about the upcoming film Bennett's War and to explain whether or not he thinks our guy, Captain Cons, has a honky-tonk
badonkadonk.
Round number five, you're pulling your 58% interest Mustang into a veteran-only parking space. Kate won't do it, not even if there's a fire. Our veteran parking space is needed. We're going to talk about that in round number five. And finally, round number six, the LA Clippers had their introductory press conference with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Clippers chairman Steve Ballmer is the NCO that no one wants to see in the morning. That might not make sense to most people for a military podcast to talk about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, but we're going to do it, and it's going to make sense. Hopefully. And all that is going to be brought to you by our friends at Starbucks. Because as you know, this week they announced that they hired 25,000 military vet and their spouses. And they continue to hire because of the leadership, dedication, service, and an emphasis on community that each one of these members brings to their store. I met like 10 of them yesterday when I went to the local store here in Alamo Ranch. They're doing incredible things like sending 3 million cups of coffee to deploy members primarily in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria. They're sending them over because they've adopted over 1,000 units as of March of 2019. Starbucks is doing so many things in communities that surround bases as well as opening up 59 military family stores. And by September of 2019, they're going to have 65 military veterans. Our military stores open where military members can meet up, talk, hang out. We're going to talk about so much more with that in the coming days, in the coming weeks. Later on in the show, we're going to have a round with an organization called Hiring Our Heroes, which is focusing on hiring veterans. Starbucks is giving them money. They're giving them support logistically and so many other things. Thanks to Starbucks for sponsoring the show and for doing so many things in the military community that largely goes unnoticed. It's a birthday Friday. It's your boy's birthday today. Big time. 37 years old. I'm excited to be 37. Although, it's turned out to be shitty. This week has been a rough one.
The code of all things.
Not just the code getting canceled, which is obviously the big news, but wifey's out of town. It's almost like when that really good NCO goes on leave and nobody in higher command knows how good that NCO is until they're gone and they're not doing everything. Mm-hmm. Actually, it'd probably be the other way. It's probably like the battalion commander leaving and not everybody realizing because she would I am not higher command in our house. I will tell you that right now. I am the lowest ranking person in the house, I would probably say. But she's gone doing more stuff. It's been busy as fuck, man. Busy as fuck across the board.
Does your wife make you salute her in the morning?
Do you stand at parade rest when she's talking to you?
Sometimes, depending on how angry she is, yeah.
Yeah.
She gets fired up. I definitely am. But she is gonna I haven't even had the heart to break her the news about the code.
Oh yet. God, don't tell her yet.
I don't know how we're starting with this with round one. It's gonna bring the energy right down.
What a downer. I mean,
yeah.
What can I say? Can we hop right into it?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Round number one, the code has been canceled. For those that you don't know, the code, it had the brightest military minds. They took our country's toughest challenges inside the courtroom and out. And each one of the attorneys, nobody in the military community, that's what made this show so special, is that nobody in the military community had any issues with it. They took so much time to get the ribbons and medals right. They took so much time to honor women's service and how they went about it. They didn't belittle them in any way, right, Kate?
Right. No, they could plan a wedding and do military work at the same time.
It
easy
was
peasy.
A wonder. It was
easy.
A wonder.
The haircuts were fucking on point. But yeah, they prosecutors, defense lawyers, investigators, and Marines, it showed that they could really do it all. Mm-hmm. And I think there was no bigger champion of the show than Zero Block 30. So we were all pretty crushed last night.
Yeah. The group chat was going buzzing, talking about it. And
so we're
going
to do what we can. I think it's going to be time to start one of those White House petitions where we actually get the code brought back. We might even need to go picket at Capitol Hill to get them to bring back
the
code.
Should we do that? Should we get all the way down to Washington, see if we can really make some changes?
I think we should. And I think, too, it's sad for all the people on the show. Actress Dana Delaney, who was like one of the leads on it, she tweeted out last night, "Thank you to all the wonderful people who watched the Code CBS." That was definitely us. Last night was our finale, and sadly, no more. I'll never make general. But I loved the cast and stellar actors, and no, we'll never meet again. Semper Fidelis. Actress Dana Delaney. I mean,
one good thing that they'll never be able to take away from us is that it is on our DVRs, and we'll be able to binge watch that show. And soon, very soon, I would say, probably within the next week, it'll be identified as one of the greatest cult classics in modern television history, which will be something really to behold.
Right. Mm-hmm. Freaks and Geeks and The Code. Those two shows, I think, are...
Really star
Freaks and Geeks,
studded,
Arrested Development, and one The
year
Code,
shows,
all three.
One
right
season
there.
Shows
Absolutely.
That really stood above the rest.
Well, salute.
One last note about The Code. Luke Mitchell, still get a fucking haircut, you boot-ass bitch. Let's move on to round two. Round number two, we're going to head out to Iraq because we got some news last night that was broken on Twitter. And it wasn't broken by one of the typical military sources. It wasn't broken by Dan Lamoth from Washington Post or Task and Purpose or Military Times or even What the Fuck Army. It wasn't broken by any of those. It was broken by the actual U.S. SOCOM Twitter account. It was their official account, and they broke down some of the news that was happening. And it says, here's the news directly from their account. It says, release. Operation Inherent Resolve Special Operations Commander orders an early return of deployed SEAL platoon. The commander of the Special Operations Joint Task Force Operation Inherent Resolve in Iraq ordered an early redeployment of a SEAL team platoon to San Diego due to perceived deterioration of good order and discipline within the team during non-operational periods. The commander lost confidence in the team's ability to accomplish the mission. That tweet came out, and it sent like a storm through military Twitter. Because if you know anything about SEALs, the amount of training, the amount of money, the amount of man hours that goes into one of their deployments is high, high, high. So a SOCOM commander being like, you know what? Not just onesies and twosies, but every single one of you bitches.
The whole platoon. Get out.
You get out of here. I've actually never heard of this before. This happened.
I've never heard of it either.
And two anonymous defense officials with knowledge of the issue said alcohol was involved. So yeah, some sort of partying was involved, and that's why a whole platoon was brought
just
back.
Just a little bit. I mean, if you are on a remote base, there's a propensity to kind of bend the rules a little bit, right? Because you're away from the flagpole. I was on a very remote outpost. Some of the rules around uniforms, things of that nature, kind of get laxed a little bit. I've never been in a situation where it was just openly okay to drink alcohol, but chaps, as you wrote in your blog, it happens. It happens. But if it happens to the point that you are sending an entire platoon home, I have to imagine these guys were just abusing that privilege that they get, they're afforded as being one of our elite units in the military.
Right. It violates, according to these, I don't remember shit, Chaps probably knows all, but it violates General Order Number 1,
right,
which bans alcohol use overseas for obvious reasons. I mean, when I was on Camp Leatherneck on my second deployment, that was like a huge, giant base that had like a pizza place to burn, and there's planes coming in and out all day long from other countries, and the civilians had like, some of them had like beautiful bars set up secretly, and they're like, you find ways to get alcohol and figure that stuff out. I didn't do it, but after I got out
of the hospital, whenever I was walking on my FOB, I was fucked up, dude. Like, they, like, my company staff brought me in, and they're like, here's some whiskey, here's this, like, you can hang out. I had to walk across Camp Fallujah to go back to where all the dogs stayed, because we stayed with our dogs all the time. And a master sergeant stopped me in the hallway. He's like, "Are you drunk?" I was like, "Yep." I'm
yeah. Hammering right well, now. And the other thing is, if you're on these big bases, you're with other countries there, and other countries don't follow the same rules. So they have alcohol, and it's not a big deal for them to be drinking. And if you're working side by side, a lot of times you're just going to be offered alcohol.
But to me, the alcohol is not a big deal. Like, it's not with SEALs. Like, they do it all the time. If you're in special operations, it's a total different ball game with what you're allowed to do.
Yeah,
because they let you have some of that shit. Like, there's a difference between having a cup of, like, a nightcap and getting hammered.
Correct.
That's why if they are getting sent home, it was something fucking extreme.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. It was either something extreme or they're making an example, because there was recently another article that came out. I think it was about SEAL Team 10, that they had a lot of issues with guys popping on coke. They were popping on all kinds of shit, and they had – I think that they're just trying to reestablish discipline in the Navy SEAL community.
Well, and that
I think
too,
that's the reason – like, it's a wake-up call type of thing.
Mm-hmm. That was – I mean, this was just a couple days before this happened and was disclosed. The Navy Times did that report where it was SEAL Team 10 operators were caught, and then after they were caught, after a bunch of them popped on these drug tests, they revealed and gave their own quote saying, "Oh, yeah, when we were in Colombia, when we were here, when we were there, we would snort cocaine, we would spike our alcohol with banned substances." Like, they all – because they thought that the drug tests were a joke pretty much, because they got away with it for so long. And also, we have this year the Navy SEAL and Marine Raiders hazing that Army Green Beret who died. It's like just a ton, bad press after bad press after bad press. The Eddie Gallagher thing, even though he was found innocent, still bad press. So the Navy SEALs, man, I'm interested to know what the real story is behind, because you're right, chaps. It's definitely not just they were drinking on base, but
it had to have been incident after incident. And chaps, I just want to...
And that's like the beauty of the Freedom of Information Act. We're going to find out.
Right.
Like, we are going to find out what exactly happened. And hopefully it's not something that's like career ending, because you hate to see people make mistakes because they were drinking and it went too far. But damn, man, sending home a whole platoon of Navy SEALs is not something that any commander does lightly, because, you know, if you send it home, cons, as a captain, as a commander, you send your folks home, that looks bad on you too.
Oh, that's terrible. That looks like you have the inmates are running the asylum. You've lost all control, no discipline. That's a terrible look. Not to mention, you're leaving a whole gap in your AO with whatever mission that they were tasked to complete.
And somebody's got to fill your space. My hope is that this is. They're just – my hope is that somebody drew a dick on somebody too high-ranking when he fell asleep with his boots on.
Hopefully it's that Bubba we talked about a couple weeks ago that liked to have the margarita machine outside of the Naval War College.
Right.
Hopefully he was in town and they were doing a little booze goofing.
I don't think this happens anywhere else outside of a special operations community, because they can spin up another unit very quickly, because that's just how they're trained to operate. But chaps, one point in your blog that I wanted to opine on a little bit was the fact that you said the Navy SEALs seem to be drinking their own Kool-Aid a little too much in recent years. And, you know, the joke is out there that the next phase of budge training is creative writing. And you see all these movies going back to now, like, there were always movies about Navy SEALs, like Navy SEALs with Charlie Sheen or, my favorite, G.I. Jane in 97. But then you get to the
2010s. Suck my dick.
You get to the 2010s. Listen to this lineup of movies. You got Zero Dark Thirty, Captain Phillips, Lone Survivor, American Sniper, 13 Hours. All these movies that are really glorifying what our SEAL teams are capable of, and they transition from that quiet community, quiet professionals, to now I would go so far as to say, I bet you there are young guys in the SEALs now who in 2010 or whatever decided, maybe on the back of their mind, maybe I can join the Navy SEALs. And I can parlay that into a movie or a book someday based on what I do.
I don't think so. I think that is maybe 1%. I think
maybe, but I think it's there.
Like, I think all these cases, I think it's like the internet trolls. When somebody calls me a hard C, cunt, online, I'm like, oh no, everybody thinks I'm a cunt. Not true.
Right.
You hear from the loudest 1%. Yeah. The bulk of people aren't like that. I still believe the bulk of our special forces, Navy SEALs, are the quiet professionals who do incredible things.
But that 3% that might be that way is pretty loud. Like, Kate, you remember when we went out to One Wave when we were in San Diego and we were talking to some SEALs that are out there? Just the nicest, most humble folks in the world.
Hell yeah.
Even some of the people who have written the books and that are some of the more notable SEALs in media, I love those dudes on a personal level. Like, I think a lot of them are great, but there's got to be a point where
you're still
active duty. Maybe get reeled in a little bit.
Right.
Hopefully, whatever comes out behind the story is not a major, major deal. I hope it's not a major deal because I don't want anybody to get in trouble. But hopefully, it's just boozing and they're. Because you do have that with commanders too. Like, if people are getting in trouble, it's like, okay, good. Now I'm going to make an example of you. Like, there's going to be an example made, and maybe that's what's going on here.
I think you're right, because at some point it gets to the, you know, it gets to a point where unless you do something this drastic, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
So I don't envy the Special Operations Command who had to make this decision, because it's certainly, I think, an unprecedented one, but. Maybe it will definitely shake things up and change the attitude within that community.
I have three final notes on this. One, kudos to them for being open about it and tweeting it out and being like,
that's
right
crazy.
Up front, here we fucking go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That might be the most wild aspect of the entire thing.
Yeah.
But they could also know, because Dan Lamoth had an article ready to go like 6 minutes later. They could have also been like, this is about to come out,
right.
So we need to get ahead of it.
Oh, yeah. That's probably true. Number two. Regardless of the here or there, I would still fucking love to party with the Navy SEALs. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I would just go
just one
crazy.
Speed. They got one speed.
Yes. I feel like that
what
would
country?
Be...
Colombia.
Fucking Colombia. Put me in a fucking... Yes. I'd be like Scarface. Oh, okay. Sam.
Dude.
Okay,
do
man.
Do you remember when that story came out about prostitution that a bunch of special operators and canine handlers were... involved with prostitution in Colombia whenever President Obama went down. It was with Secret Service.
Yeah.
I was teaching at the canine school at the time, and all these high and mighty instructors were like, I can't believe these people did this after we teach them about integrity and shit. It's like, are you out of your mind, man?
Yeah.
Like, if I was still single and I was going down to Colombia and the opportunity came to be hooking up with some hookers whenever you're there, you are outside of your mind if you don't think that that is what people do. I mean, that's just what they do whenever you're away. I don't care if you're in the military or not. If you're in a wild situation like that, and 9 out of 10 times, if you think you can get away with it, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. That's like saying that you wouldn't go and start drinking a bunch of scotch with what the fuck is his name? Hunter S. Thompson. Hunter S. Thompson offers you to come over and do some lines and write some books with him. You're doing it. You get the opportunity to do a little cocaine with Navy SEALs in Colombia, you're probably getting nuts.
Oh, man. I would love to. I'd be like, guys, you're not going to believe what I did this weekend. I did a
that would be the best Zero Block 30 ever.
It's going to be such a good block. Yeah.
I did a hooker, too. I was with the SEALs. I don't know. Anyways, point number
did
three.
A hooker.
I wonder what a Colombian dude stripper looks like. Comes in with just this absolute
hot
tennis ball can of a dick. And he's just like, let's go.
He's helicoptering in. I'm like, I'm gonna fast rope down that sucker.
You're fast roping from his big old penis.
Right. Yeah. For sure. Of course.
Shit.
Hey.
I mean,
who among us would not?
If it's something like that, I'd give it a go, too.
Dare I say YOLO.
You don't get many opportunities to pop open a can of a tennis ball cock.
And what was your third point?
Also, that being said, Zero Block 30 does not condone cocaine or strippers unless you're in Colombia.
No. Absolutely not. We don't.
If you are going to draw a dick on somebody... I highly recommend make sure your partner or whoever you're with is drank too much is safe. But then the best spot to put a dick is right behind their ear.
Oh, yeah.
Because they'll never see it. And they walk around for like a week with a dick behind their ear. I saw it a couple times sitting in class in college. Always a good laugh.
Do you guys know the secret to getting marker off your face if you are the one to fall asleep early and get drawn all over?
Toothpaste.
I've never heard toothpaste. But
baking soda.
Find better friends.
No, because if my friends aren't drawn on me when I fall asleep first, I don't have good friends.
Oh, God.
That's
no.
A fact.
Hard disagree.
No, it's just regular hand lotion. Cuts through it and cleans it right up. So that's coming from someone who's been drawn on a time or two.
Little Lubriderm on the old Dickaroonie.
Yes.
All right.
All right, so we needed to do a little bit of an update of the story that we did on the Navy SEALs, because we were all goofing. We were casually goofing. We thought it was just going to be something that was drinking. And I think that there is this hope within a hope that you're not going to have to address something like this as a military member, as a veteran, as leaders in the military community. It's not something that we ever want to talk about, but it's what happened. Dan Lamoth from the Washington Post, in conjunction with a report from the New York Times, gave us more information tonight. We're recording now at 10:30 Eastern Time, where it says that the statement that the SOCOM sent out was kind of misleading, because there was a report of a sexual assault that took place while the drinking was happening on a July 4th incident. And that paints the entire incident in a different picture. It makes so much more sense why the commander on the ground decided to send the entire platoon home, because the platoon that was there, the Navy SEAL team that was there, did not want to cooperate with investigation. And we want to also stress that this is just an allegation at this point. But at the same time, I think in modern society, it's important at the outset, because it hasn't been this way for so long, that we need to believe women. Kate, as a Marine, as a veteran, as somebody who has stood beside grunts in a combat zone, when this story came across the wire on from the Washington Post and New York Times, what was your initial reaction? What was your initial thought?
Unfortunately, my stomach dropped, because I just remember myself hours ago recording this main podcast earlier today joking about that maybe the worst thing that happened was they were drawing dicks on each other, haha, and making light of it. And it just, I think part of that was hope that that is what it was and it was nothing more. And that's what I have faith in, those who are at the most elite units, that that's it. And unfortunately, we know from history that's not always the case. Again, these are allegations, but it is just so sickening and disappointing, and especially to hear they're circling the wagons and not speaking, and that's part of why they were recalled. I just am so tired of this happening over and over and over. And again, we don't know if this, these are allegations, but it's just fucking A. It's just so disappointing. It sucks. I'm going to wait to hear more, but I feel like I should have more to say. I'm the woman voice on the podcast, and I know friends, and I have more probably women veteran friends than a lot of other people who listen to. And it's just, I don't have much to say right now. I'm just waiting to hear more until it comes out. But all I can say is,
I think that's okay. I think it's okay to kind of gather your thoughts and wait, and we can discuss it on Tuesday when more information comes out. I think that we say, and Cons isn't here, but I think that we'd all say we're disappointed in the allegation. Not disappointment, but like legitimately outraged. We should be past this point as people. We should be past this point as military members, especially when you're talking about the highest of the calling of the military, the Special Forces unit. We expect these people to be the best of the best, and not that just doesn't deal with tactics. That deals with morality and moral courage as well. And I think that every single person who has worn the trident would say that they are called to have this certain level of moral courage as well. Moral courage goes so much further than battlefield courage. And it's time that the men in the military, the men veterans, we step up and say, listen, it's not about if it was my wife, it was my daughter. It's the fact that these are people too, and people should be treated fairly and equally across the board, no matter what their gender, race, sexual creed, or orientation should be. We, as the greatest country in the world, should step up and say, listen, a fucking enough is a fucking enough. Stop it. We don't care what you're doing. We don't care who you are. Stop assaulting people across the board. That should be.
And if you see it, and if you see something, you whatever, you're part of an investigation, whatever the sides are, whatever, speak the fuck up. Don't circle your wagons. Be fucking brave and speak the fuck up and say what the fuck happened. That's all. Be brave.
Round number three. Get in, bitches. We're going shopping. We're heading over to the commissary. These are the big military base stores. But I have to admit, when I was on base, I never really took too much advantage of it. But they're going to be letting an additional 3 million more people in to shop at these stores. What are these things and why does it matter? Like, what the fuck is a commissary for those who don't know?
It's just the commissary and the post exchange. Post exchange is the equivalent of a Walmart on post, and the commissary is just your standard supermarket, your HEB, your Winn-Dixie, what have you. And the great thing about them is the prices tend to be a lot better than what you'd find in civilian world.
Is it really?
I disagree. I really
maybe
disagree.
Not on every item, but there are perks to shopping there.
Especially for the exchange. Maybe the commissary is usually much better.
Right.
The exchange, I just thought of this whenever we were talking. The exchange is essentially tax-free TJ Maxx.
Right. Tax, okay. That's it. That's
so
the
commissary,
thing,
supermarket, exchange, like a Walmart type yes. deal. But you're right. I remember going to the exchange, the Walmart type place, a couple times, and I didn't think the prices were ever that much better. The commissary, yes, sometimes, but people like go apeshit over this. When wherever we're near base, people are like, hey, you need anything from the commissary? You need anything from the exchange while you guys
are
here?
Well, why is that?
Right.
That,
so what why, is the
But why
benefit?
Would they offer it to us now that we are civilians? Why would they offer to go to the commissary?
Right, because I guess there is some sort of cost savings or something.
Well, no, the reason being is if once you're out of the military, once you're no longer active duty, you cannot shop there. You can't go on post and shop at the commissary or post exchange.
Unless you're like retired or something like that. Like yeah, I still have commissary privileges because I actually was retired, so I could still go. I mean, I guess if you're going to the exchange and you're going to get like a MacBook, for example, something that's like $1,200, $1,300. Just not having the tax at like 8.5%,
right,
that's a pretty big
up.
Savings. You're True. Taking 8% off the top. So you are going to have that. But they're letting more people go on, I think, for things. You can't go – it's sort of like Sam's Club or Costco, you know, where if you go to Costco and you want to buy every single thing that you're going to eat that week, you're probably not going to end up saving money. But if you go to the commissary and the only things that you're getting is like the outer aisle stuff, like your meats, your milk, your veggies and shit like that, you're probably going to save a little bit more money.
Right.
Okay. For sure.
That's what this story is all about, Kate. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know that once people get out, a thing they are a little bummed about is that they can't go to these stores anymore. Well, starting on January 1st, all service-connected disabled veterans, Purple Heart recipients, former prisoners of war, and primary veteran caregivers will be eligible to shop at commissaries and exchanges, and officials from three different federal agencies are preparing the way because basically they only have a few more months now to get ready for that group that I just read off, that list of different people, mm-hmm. that's going to add 3 million more customers. And that's also going to mean they're going to need access to military bases. That's 3 million more people who will have access to military bases, access to these stores. And it's the largest patronage expansion in more than 60 years. So that is a huge undertaking. And do you think, like, will they only get an ID to get on base specifically, hey, you're only allowed to these two areas? Because 3 million more people allowed on bases is a big deal.
I think it'll probably vary by base, quite honestly. I don't know that.
And I think most people who have done enough to earn those things, the expansion, they know the parts of base that they're not going to go to
right.
anyways. Like I have access to anywhere. But it's not like I'm going to go hang out in the hangar with like the helicopters
right.
and shit.
Hey,
I'm
going
to be like, no, no, guys. I got my ID card here. I'm all set. Just want to see you guys goofing around what you're getting into today.
Right.
I don't think they're going to do that. It's a great thing anytime you can get more people on there. Also, one of the big perks is they're going to be able to go to the ticket office and get cheaper tickets to Disney World and shit like that.
That was a place that I
right.
loved, the ticket office on bases.
Forgot about
That's
that.
That's very cool. Yeah, they said there's also a couple other like – couple other things that these groups will have access to. And I love that they didn't just include service-connected veterans, Purple Heart recipients, prisoners of war, but that they included the primary veteran caregivers as well, mm-hmm. that those who are taking mm-hmm. care
very,
of our veterans
yeah.
also will have these benefits is, I think, very cool that they considered them too.
Yeah. So, it almost seems like a no-brainer. I mean, I know 3 million is a large number, but when you spread that out all over the world, I feel like that's pretty evenly distributed and it's not that many. Because also, like, I'm not going to start using commissaries, right? There's not a commissary near Hoboken where I live. I don't know about you guys, maybe Chaps because you live near a base, but I don't know how many people. This is only going to really affect if you have retired or
yeah.
if you moved near a military base. So it's, yep. but it is great. I think it's still a great idea and it makes a lot of sense.
I just liked when I read it, I pictured all 3 million lined up at one. And I was like, they are so fucked, man. They're going to run out of Oakleys in 2 minutes. Anyways, I just thought that was a neat little shopping story.
But now, Chaps, now that you remind me that things are tax-free, maybe when I'm up at West Point for whatever reason, sometimes I go there, maybe I will save a purchase for the PX there.
There you go.
We'll see.
Treat yourself, bitch.
Maybe I will.
That's bitch with two C's. Man. I respect you.
All right, let's move on. If you want to have your penis rock hard where it looks like a tennis ball can, make sure that you get Roman swipes because they are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting, and they don't require a prescription. Roman can send these swipes to you discreetly in an unmarked package, and it's small enough to hide in your wallet whenever you need it. Swipes are great because they don't transfer to your partner and you can last longer without worrying. They're super easy to use. Just take swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. When you go to GetRoma.com/zero, you can get your first month of swipes for just $5. And when you choose a monthly plan, you can use that as well. Go to get GetRoman.com/zero. That's GetRoman.com/zero for that rock hard, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful bulging cock. Round number four is going to be our guy, Trace Atkins. Here is longtime stoolie Trace Atkins, who has the most delightful voice. I wish I could change it. You know, whenever you drive around, you use Waze, and you have the typical Waze voice, and sometimes they'll be like, okay, we're going to have Toy Story as Waze this week. We're going to have Morgan Freeman. Give me Trace Atkins. I might fuck the phone if it's Trace Atkins' voice as my Waze.
There's
like
an app.
The Barry White of country music. Right. It threw me off when he said, "Hello." When he came upstairs, I was like, Jesus Christ.
That should be
Hello.
An app.
Whoa.
You can change me.
Can
I've
I get a big-ass coffee?
Yeah, he asked for a big-ass coffee in the deepest voice. Big-ass coffee, bro.
I want the biggest Starbucks. I want the biggest Starbucks in the world.
Big-ass black coffee.
Big-ass black coffee. Bigger than Texas. I was like, oh, my. Holy shitballs. Yeah.
All right. Here's 3 seconds.
Man, every time I get in trouble, my girlfriend makes me watch Golden Girls.
What? That's a punishment? I love that
That's
show.
That's my punishment. That's
I honest treat. To God That's believe if treat. That show came out today, it would be a number one hit. Old ladies talking about sex stuff, like, it would continue to kill.
And it'd be, but it would be raunchier and better today.
Yeah. Put the Golden Girls on, like, HBO or Netflix original.
Who would we get to play the Golden Girls? There's not. There's Ooh. Only one left's Betty White.
Betty
right?
White.
She'd have She's to be in it and like be herself now. I think Betty White could probably take what's her name, Bea Arthur's role. I think she could probably take that role
yeah.
now. She goes out a little bit further.
Crush it.
Yeah.
We have a show on Sirius at night from 6 to 7, and the song that starts the show is "Thank You for Being a Friend." The goal is that the so we're big Golden Girls fans over here.
All right.
But I guess we'll just jump right into it. We are joined by country music legend, coming in at 6'6", huge bucket hat on. I had to look way up when he came in. Over 11 million albums sold in the United States, hit the charts more than 20 country singles at the top. Trace Atkins, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
Yes, I'm such a big fan that when he walked in with his crew, I shook his hand, I shook his manager's hand, and then I shook an employee who works here's hand. I was like, "Hi, I'm Kate." They're like, "Yeah, I know, I work here." So really crushing it today.
And my wife, we interview people like congressmen, Medal of Honor recipients, shit like that. And whenever I told my wife, I was like, "I'm interviewing Trace Atkins today," she was like, "Oh my God." She had to be gone in Austin today because she was like, "Tell them about the boat mix. Make sure you tell them about our boat mix. Whenever we take our boat out, we have a playlist on Spotify called Sick Ass Boat Mix, and it is filled with Trace Atkins songs."
Oh wow. Yeah. I'm honored. I'm honored.
And before,
tell her hello for me.
Before we kick things off, I have to say, Honky Tonk Badonkadonk rings really true with us because our third partner here at Zero Blog 30, he couldn't be here today, Captain Cons, but we had to ask you in person, is this a certified Honky Tonk Badonkadonk?
That's what one looks like, yeah, pretty much.
We knew it. We knew it.
Yeah. He's dragging a wagon. We are always giving him a hard time about it, so we just had to get confirmation from an expert on that. But we're here today because you play a role, and you've actually been in a bunch of different things before, too, even including King of the Hill. But you are in an upcoming movie that's coming out this August 30th called Bennett's War. Mm-hmm. And basically, after surviving an IED explosion in combat overseas, Marshall Bennett, a young soldier in the Army Ranger Motorcycle Unit, is medically discharged and told that one more accident could mean he might never walk again. And he gets home to the family farm. He discovers that his dad, played by you, is behind in the mortgage, might lose the farm. Definitely a narrative that a lot of people are actually facing right now. And against all odds, Bennett pledges to help his family by the only means he knows how, getting back on that motocross bike and doing what he does best. And I thought this was really cool because I was saying when we were in the Marine Corps, every now and then at the motor pool, you would see like a motocross bike and it was all camoed out and everything. And I'd be like, who the hell gets to ride that thing? Like, what? I'm in this slow ass Humvee. Like, I never realized that that's something that our special forces teams actually use.
You know, I didn't know that either until I did this movie. I didn't know we had that. But we do. We have these special forces guys that, you know, in Afghanistan, they go out at night wearing their night vision goggles and they do recon on these dirt bikes.
It's crazy.
And so, you know, a guy like Marshall Bennett, who rode motocross and stuff, you know, before he joined, it was natural that he become part of that unit. And then, you know, yeah, he got hurt and he comes back home and tries to start racing again. And, you know, it's a really good inspirational movie, but it's filled with action too. If you like motorcycle racing, you should see this because it's pretty cool.
It's got it all. And I read in the thing they go to actual motocross track and have professional big names. If you follow that sport, you'll recognize the people who are in doing like the stunts and in this film. It's like really cool out in California.
Yeah, we shot a lot of this at Glen Helen racetrack.
Yeah.
There.
Did you get on one? Did you ride it on?
No, you know, I didn't. I've had bikes. I got rid of my last bike like 3 or 4 years ago, and it was a dirt bike. I'd gotten rid of my Harley. I kept the dirt bike, but then I laid it down one day, and I said, that's it. I got to get rid of this thing. It's not worth it anymore, but I don't get on them anymore.
I do love the thought of a 6'6" man special forces overseas, and you're the enemy, and you see that coming at you. You're like,
see, wow. I always thought whenever you see motocross, like going with like Rangers and SEALs and stuff like that, it would be too loud if you're trying to do anything reconnaissance wise. Like, if you're going up a mountain and trying to get up and like ring, 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 they need to get on one of those scooters that are all over the place because those are quiet, have like Navy SEAL scooter teams,
or that dirt bike that Tom Cruise rode in Oblivion.
Yeah.
That movie,
like the
that
super
battery, that battery powered.
Well, they are actually working on that right now. They have one that can go as low as 55 decibels that the U.S. military uses, which is about the same as we're talking right now. So, like a normal one is at 113, and that just goes at like 55. But really cool stuff. I went down a rabbit hole on it. And what brought you? Because you have always been involved with the U.S. military. You have songs about the military. Just a couple weeks ago when you were in West Virginia, you took the time to go over to the VA hospital and meet with the troops, and that's something you've always taken the time to do. And I know you've done tours overseas and all that stuff and everything. Why? What's your connection, and why is it so important to you?
I started early on in my career, got an opportunity to go do a USO show overseas, and then I was hooked, you know, from that moment on. And the first time that I ever went, before I went, we were doing a show. This was the weirdest show. It was Wayne Newton, us, and ZZ Top.
Sounds like a good time, honestly.
What? You know? Wayne Newton, Trace Adkins, ZZ Top.
Yeah,
I'm going.
It was the weirdest. Yeah, it was the weirdest lineup.
Need that
anyway,
reunion tour.
Yeah.
So I got to talk to Wayne Newton because, you know, he's done. He was USO guy after Bob Hope. He kind of took over for years and years, and so I got to ask him, what should I expect? You know, I'm about to go do my first USO tour. And he said, expect to feel guilty when you come home.
Yeah.
And that's all he said, you know. I said, have you seen all old, you know. But then he was right. I didn't realize until I got home what he was talking about. You know, you go over there and you play for these men and women and you try to give them all you have. But then, you know, you just leave feeling guilty because it felt like they gave me more than I gave them, and that's always been the case. All the stuff that I do with veterans organizations or USO active military folks playing bases, I tell people all the time, don't pat me on the back too hard, because it's a selfish endeavor on my part. If you have an opportunity to associate with or hang out with heroes, you should do that because it's good for you and it's a lot of fun. And
I imagine so, with somebody with a celebrity status like you in the country music game, the military is known for busting balls a little bit. It brings you back down to earth whenever you get to hang out with some of the younger troops because they're kind of giving it to you a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had some Marines actually threatened to cut my ponytail off, and and I knew there was nothing I was going to be able to do about it. If they wanted to cut it off, they could have cut it off, you know. But fortunately for me, they just started laughing and said,
let you get away.
Yeah,
that would be a headline I would love to read. Marines cut Trace Adkins ponytail off at the but I think a big element of country music in general is, you know, it's like America's music kind of, and it's a big part of it. Do you ever, now there's different things, I guess we'll have to edit this part out, but I know there's different programs where, I think we're talking to somebody soon, trying to get veterans into music and into those music programs. Do you ever hear from veterans who are trying to get into that and learn how to songwrite and get into the music industry at all?
I don't too often, no, but there is a program in Nashville now that's doing exactly that. You know, they're bringing vets into Nashville and giving them a chance to write with, you know, professional songwriters. They sit down, get to write a song with them, then they go in the studio and record it. I've heard about that program, and it's what a great thing to do. And
definitely a good outlet, I think. And you from Louisiana, small town Louisiana.
Yeah.
And what was your motivation to get into? Because I was reading about your life, you kind of have a Forrest Gump kind of path where you work all sorts of different jobs. You were a walk-on at Louisiana Tech, is that right, for the first? And then dropped out, had all sorts of different odd jobs. How did you wind up with the path that you took?
Well, yeah, I worked in the oil field for 10 years, and 6 years of that I worked offshore, so I would work 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So my 2 weeks off, I'd go play clubs and stuff with a band. And then that got a little out of control. We got an agent, and, you know, so I took a leave of absence, and I was just going to try it for 6 months, and I stayed on the road playing clubs for 4 years. And then I got burnt out, and I went back to work offshore for 3 or 4 years. And then a guy who was my agent booking me in all those clubs in the Southwest, he called me one day, and he said, "Do you sing anymore?" And I said, "I don't even sing in the shower. I'm done, you know."
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, one of these days you're going to have to ask yourself the question, I wonder what would have happened if." And I said, "If what?" And he said, "If you'd have thrown down the pom-poms and gotten the game." He said, you need to go to Nashville. If that's what you want to be, that's where they make what you want to be. That's where the factory is. And so the thought of having to face myself years down the road and ask myself that question, I just couldn't bear that. So I sold the house and moved to Nashville, and the rest is history.
And there's some things about your story that makes me believe that you would have been a very, very good soldier or Marine. Like one...
I almost joined the Marine Corps.
First time I've ever heard that. First time.
I was set to take the placement test, the placement exam, at Barksdale Air Force Base, actually. And it was like, you know... There's nothing going on then, you know, 79-80, you know, and then Coach Merritt had recruited me to come play ball at Louisiana Tech, so, you know, so I turned my back on the Marine Corps and went and played ball, and then after they were done with me, I wasn't fit to do anything.
Yeah.
I was torn all to pieces.
But you've showed some toughness, like whenever you had your finger cut off and you told them that you wanted to have it placed where you could still play guitar, right?
Yeah.
Yep. They top of a bucket.
Put it like that so I could still hammer the neck of the guitar with it.
I actually served with a Marine who, before he joined, he reached under a lawnmower to get the grass out of it but forgot to turn the lawnmower off. We called him Nubs. He was like one of my favorite Marines ever, but he still had his trigger finger, so they let him join. And it was just like, it was just one of my favorite people. But adapt and overcome. I feel like that's definitely something that you have also done throughout your life. And as you got into the music industry and that progressed, you've now King of the Hill, Deepwater Horizon, The Lincoln Lawyer. Getting into acting, was this a difficult role? And do you have a green thumb? You play a farmer in this film. Was that something new to you as well?
No, I
we know you don't have a green pinky. That's
right.
Thank God. But.
No, yeah, I grew up on a farm, grew up in a rural area, and now I live, you know, in the country, out of town. I've got land and tractors, and, you know, that's my therapy, really, you know. So, I kind of know what I'm doing on a farm or on a horse or whatever. But this role here, you know, I've got five kids, so playing a father is not a stretch for me, you know.
Is it kind of rude whenever they call you and you're like, we want you to play a dad, but it's not of a toddler age kid, or it's not of like a young kid, and they're like, we want you to play the dad of a full grown man, and you're like, shit, am I getting old?
I got a 32-year-old daughter.
Oh,
so
not a stretch there. Yeah.
No, it's not at all. So, Yeah, and you know, he looked young enough that it didn't make me feel that old.
All
right, so we normally do, our segments are called rounds, and we want to have one because you're on. It makes sense to have this one called Tracer Round. So we're going to fire off some quick action questions for you. Are you ready for that?
Tracer Round, okay.
Here we go. All right. Tracer Round. First one up, I know you're from Louisiana. I need you to describe to me, how do you make a roux?
You know what? I don't know, man. Oh. I know you burn stuff. You really have to burn it. Now, I know you do. You put stuff in the skillet or the cast iron pot, and then you burn it. And that's how you make the roux. But I don't know what you use. I don't know. I'm not a cook.
All right. In under 15 seconds, explain the Mardi Gras King Cake Baby.
I don't know where the thing from the King Cake Baby came from, but it is a thing. Yeah. But now, you know, in this stupid, you know, marshmallow world we live in, now they're taking the babies out of the King Cake. They won't put them in there anymore because somebody swallowed one.
No. Who swallowed the King Baby? Who did that?
Well, I think that's extra good luck.
Well, they're not very big. They're little, you know.
That's extra good luck if you swallow.
Also, if you are in New Orleans, you're probably pretty hammered when you're eating that King Cake.
Yeah, it's like eating the worm, I thought.
Yeah, I thought you were supposed to. Let's see. Well, no bias here. Which military branch do you love the most?
Oh, wow. Don't put me on the spot like that. You know, I can't. I will say this. You eat better in the Navy.
Okay.
I think that is true. Air Force and Navy definitely have the best.
Air Force, the cleanest bases, and you get to, and the mode of travel is really cool. You get to fly and all that kind of stuff. And Air Force bases usually have pretty good facilities.
Right.
You know, we don't seem to treat the Army and or the Marines as well for some reason. I don't know why that is, but.
We can kick them around a little bit. They're a little.
All right, next one. You were once on Celebrity Apprentice All-Star. Who was the least favorite contestant that you were on with?
Well, Piers Morgan, he was on the first time I was on there. And no, even on the second one, the All-Star thing, nobody came close to
I don't know if there's a single person in the world who likes Piers Morgan. I just don't.
I don't know of anybody that does.
No. It's a mystery. Who was your celebrity crush growing up?
Farrah.
That's an easy. Yes.
And if you were going to play, another country music artist in a biopic, because a lot of biopics are being popular with Elton John and with the lead singer of Queen, who would you want to play?
It'd be fun to play Jerry Lee Lewis, but I can't play the piano. I don't know. Hank Jr., that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. I honestly thought you were going to say, who was the dude that you toured with before or that you went on with before?
Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton, yeah.
Wayne Newton.
Yeah, his dream, Trace Adkins is Wayne Newton. Who is your favorite musician? Who did you look up to coming up and who's been like a big music inspiration for you?
Well, my granddaddy was my first because he sang, had this beautiful, deep, rich bass voice, and I thought he was the best singer in the world. And I only got to hear him sing in church. I'd stand beside him in church, and he'd sing the bass parts on all those old hymns, and I was just in awe of the man, you know. But I had an uncle that was a very talented piano player, singer, and so those were my very first influences. And then after that, my list of influences is pretty boring because it's like everybody else's. Mm-hmm. You know, Merle Haggard, George Jones, Waylon Jennings, Buck Owens, Johnny Cash, Don Williams, you know, those guys.
Yeah. Well, good list there. I was just reading a story the other day. I read it on radio yesterday. But about the country singers, like, back in the day, like, back in the 70s and stuff. But Willie Nelson and his friends in Texas going into the bars and getting into the real fights and, like, all that crazy stuff. And I'm like, I wish I could be a fly on the wall and go back to those. Like, I just wish I could see that stuff. But definitely a fan of that. If you were at boot camp, what would the drill instructor be screaming at you for? What do you think your flaw would be that the drill instructors would pick out and just...
Wow, it'd probably be a long list. I don't know. My uniform would probably be not exactly Right.
I feel like you would call a great cadence. I also feel like you would make a great drill instructor. I feel like your voice could get to the point that would make people crap their pants. And last one, I like to ask people, what would 10-year-old Trace Adkins think of you now?
Oh, wow. Wouldn't even recognize.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no dreams of doing anything like this when I was a kid.
You know? Yeah.
I just would have never, I wouldn't have allowed myself to dream that big.
Right.
I was growing up in the little town I grew up in, you know, I figured I was going to probably just work in the oil field, and I was prepared to do that too. And I think I probably would have been happy because I loved working in the oil field. I enjoyed it, you know, just the machismo of the whole thing. I got off on it, but, you know, my hobby turned into my career, and so here I am. You know,
there
I'm
you
one
go.
Of those blessed, fortunate people that gets to make a living doing something I love to do. But
no doubt about it. Well, Trace, thank you so much for joining us on Zero Block 30. Go out and see Bennett's War, which comes to theaters at the end of August. Make sure you check that out and download his music on Spotify. And if you can't find it, go to my sick ass boat mix on my Spotify, and you'll be able to find plenty of Trace Adkins songs there. Trace, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
If you spend a lot of time fucking and you need to get rehydrated, you might want to go with the specialized vitamin blend that was developed by Navy SEALs. They are a part of the veteran community and military services, and Killcliff Performance Drink contain elite hydration benefits and are 100% all natural with a killer taste. The leading alternative to traditional sports drink used by service members, Team USA athletes, world records holders, and soul crushers everywhere, to include some frogmen. There is zero sugar, it's keto friendly, gluten free, the official partner of the Navy SEAL Foundation. You might want to get it, and you're going to get it for cheaper today because we have a promo code for you, friends. That's right. You're going to get 15% off and free shipping with the code ZEROBLOCK at killcliff.com. That's 15% off with free shipping at killcliff.com with the promo code ZEROBLOCK. Oh, promo code just zero, not ZEROBLOCK, as you were. Round number five, we're going to talk a little bit of veteran parking spaces, my friends, because the West Miami City Commission passed an initiative on Wednesday to designate veterans-only parking spaces in the city. The reserve spaces will be available at city-run parks and facilities, and at the commission meeting, Commissioner Eric Diaz-Padron, who presented the initiative, held up a sign to show how spots will be designated. The spaces say, quote, veterans-only parking with seals of the Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, Marine Corps, Navy. Shout out to the Coast Guard who made it in with their DOD brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Shout out Homeland Security. How will this designated parking space be enforced? Just by the honor system, folks. What do you guys think about having veteran parking spots?
Well, first let me say, I am a huge fan of the honor system. For instance, if you're at a public golf course and way away from the clubhouse, or just a cooler with full of water bottles and it says, hey, please leave a dollar or whatever the amount is. I love that. Makes you feel like you're doing right by the world when you adhere to the honor
Halloween.
System.
Big time honor system Halloween lately.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Take one candy.
Yep. That's tough as a 10-year-old, though.
I love seeing the videos of people's security cam just outing big fatzos that like take the entire bowl.
Oh, Bren, we don't fat shame.
Oh, no. Yeah, my bad. No, we don't fat shame.
Well, I have to step in and say this triggered me. I got a little triggered Kate on the horn here.
I think it's a very nice gesture.
And Miami-Dade County already did this in 2016. They have parking spaces, the ones closest to elevators and entrances. It's like handicap parking and then veterans right next to them taking up all the good spots. And I did a little research on this because I know it's not just this little area. It's all over the country, different stories. I think Lowe's has stuff like that. A ton of different stores do it. So I Googled veterans-only parking spaces. One of the first things that popped up was a story on the American Legion website where somebody left like an op-ed that they wrote themselves. It was a Vietnam veteran who wrote about how he was on a road trip and stopped at a Harris Teeter that had it, and he was so blown away. He took photos of it, and then every store he stopped at on his drive across the country, he showed them the pictures and asked why they didn't have veteran-only parking. And some of them, and reading that just made my stomach churn. I'm like, Jesus H. And then there's also a 501c3 nonprofit organization you can donate to called Veterans Parking Organization.
I did not know that.
And their sole mission is to get vets-only parking spots at every public, private, and commercial facility to honor our veterans every day. I cannot fucking hate this more. I hate this. When was it promised to us that we would get treated special And I think this only...
At the city council meeting in Miami.
When I raised my right hand and swore to defend the Constitution,
I feel like the same veterans who cry about the civilian-military divide, and yes, it is declining. Less than 1% of our nation's people are on active duty right now. Less than 6% now have served, and the number is going down. Yes, there is a civilian-military divide. This is not the way to fix it. This makes it way worse, if you ask me. Because if I'm a mom, I got kids in my car, I'm trying to park in this parking garage, and what the fuck is this? Veterans only parking. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck
well,
you.
Well, what about moms only parking? Because that happens some spots
that's
too.
Great.
That's discriminatory against
no,
men.
No, I would give that is true. I would give moms
it's, it and usually dads, says parents with children, by
parents
the way.
Parents
so
with
not,
children. Oh. I would give parents with children parking over. I would tear a veterans only sign down and put a parents only sign with kids on
Antifa
it or
a,
an expectant mother. Who the fuck are veteran? If you're handicapped veteran, good. Like that sucks. I'm sorry, but you have handicap spots everywhere, and that's like veterans don't need a special treatment. I hate that. If I was a civilian, I would see that and I would roll my eyes at it and I would do a jerk off motion. I'd be like, get the fuck out. I hate it.
My favorite thing about this rant from Kate is that the city of New York just sounded the problematic alarm with the ambulance going by.
I heard it. I just hate it.
Brendan, you have to add it in after.
But you know what, too? And so I'm all fired. I'm like reading about it yesterday. I'm doing the research on it. I'm like, this is so embarrassing. To me, it's an embarrassment. And I hate it. And I think it's like whatever. And then I see one of my best friends from high school posted a picture. And it just happened to be a coincidence. She was at Lowe's yesterday and posted a picture of a veterans-only parking sign, and she said, I absolutely love this. Thank you, Lowe's. And her dad had been in the Air Force, and he passed away when we were in high school, and he's buried in San Antonio, actually. And that means something to her. It reminds her of her dad, and then like I softened a little bit. I'm like, ugh, I still hate it, but I also understand why some people would like it. But I just hate this veteran hero worship thing where it's like we get
special. We don't need to worship, but I don't begrudge these companies who want to do this. I think it's a nice gesture. It's certainly not something
I... World War II veteran, Vietnam veteran.
Well, but why World War II or Vietnam any more valuable than
anyone? Because they're olds now. They're olds and they're rickety.
But you were just talking before the show that your back's hurting. So you're not old, but your back's hurting. Wouldn't you appreciate a closer spot?
Because of the way I live my life, which I deserve every extra hardship I get. Okay.
I just think it's not something I would expect every company to do, but I'm not going to begrudge any company that wants to do this. I understand where you're coming from, that it makes you feel a little awkward. And I certainly don't think that the country needs to just roll out the red carpet for veterans and make everything about us, because that feels a little disingenuous. But little things like this, to your point about your friend, I think a lot of people would appreciate things of this nature, because it's something so small and easy. And if I have to park one spot away, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Sometimes it's a kick in the dick too. Go back to a commissary story. So when I first got my Purple Heart plates here in Texas, I only got the plates, the Purple Heart plates, because it made my vehicle registration for free. I could park in any public parking garage for free when I go to the airport, and even if I stay for like a week at the airport, that's for free.
Oh wow!
So it's like, why would I not do that? That's right. Essentially like just going to, when I go to New York, normally it'd be $110 for me to park at the airport. It's free because I have Purple Heart plates.
You'd be crazy.
That's
not
why
to.
I got it. So I went when I was in my huge barbecue phase. I would go to the commissary to get all these pork butts because the meat is dirt cheap. Yep. So you get like you could get pork butt for like 79 cents a pound. So I would get a 10, 15 pound pork butt and it would be like $10, nothing. And I would come home and do it. Well, I pulled into the commissary one day, and at the commissary, they had just put up these parking spots only for Purple Heart recipients. Because normally at the commissary, they would have like your flag officers or base sergeant major or base E9, whatever the fuck they call it in the Air Force. They would have those. They put one right beside those that was Purple Heart recipients. And the rest of the parking lot was essentially full. I was going to have to walk a long way. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to swing in this bitch because I just got my Purple Heart plates. I park there, go inside, get all my pork butts. I'm carrying out probably 7 or 8 to put in my deep freezer at one time. So I easily have 70, 80 pounds of grocery bags in my hand, walking back to my Purple Heart license plate to put it in the car. And then when I was getting ready to leave, like the guy saw me coming there was this little old man that was in his car with his Purple Heart plates, and I was like, fuck me. Because it had World War II veteran like sticker on there with his Purple Heart, and I'm like, this motherfucker probably doesn't have a leg. Like, he he legit needs this parking spot, and I'm just trying to walk here. So even if you do rate the spot, like, quote-unquote rate, there's a part of you that if you don't need it, I think that you have that internal feeling, and if you don't, you'll get it after the first time you probably parked there whenever you shouldn't have.
And I think that's going to be the problem with these spots wherever they are. With a handicap spot, you have to have a handicap sticker, whether it's your license plate or hanging from your rear view. Veterans only, how are you going to prove unless you stand there and grill someone when they get out of
their
car?
It's going to be the new Stolen Valor video.
Yes.
It's going to be the new Stolen Valor video. Yeah. And it's going to be a woman like me parking in a veteran spot and some dude being like, that's not a fucking veteran.
Let me get your thoughts, both of you, because you don't like veterans parking spots overall, I think we can say. What do you think about if you go to a store and you're spending a very large amount of money and then you get to the register and you get a 10 or 15% discount because you're a veteran?
If they are openly, if they notice it on my license or something, if for whatever reason they look at it and they offer it, yes. I generally don't ask for it, but I don't shame anybody who does. I don't care if you do, but I just don't.
Chaps?
Yeah, same. Like, I don't think I go out of my way to ask for it. Except for at places that I know do it, like Lowe's or something like that.
Right,
today, I went and got fencing material, and I told the dude, I'm like, hey, let me go. I'll buy the stuff so you get 10% off because I'm a military veteran. Why not take it if a company's offering it?
So that's my point. If these places are offering the spots, it's not like you're petitioning, running around saying to everybody, hey, you better have veterans parking spots like this guy running down on his road trip. But if it's there and you earned it, I don't know why that's...
I just know me personally, if I saw myself pulling, I would shrivel up and fucking die.
I know for a fact, by knowing Kate, that if that ever came up and there was two parking spots because she had that rant on this show, she's going to walk an additional 750 meters
in order to not use it.
I would do that anyway.
Like Chaps' story about the World War II veteran, if you don't feel like you should use it, then that's fine. Then you go park somewhere else. But if you're like a severely disabled veteran from Iraq or Afghanistan,
then you have a handicap sticker and you're in a handicap spot.
Let's say you don't have one and then that spot is available. I think it's great for them
to
have.
Then you need somebody to help you get a handicap spot.
What? All right, let's move on. Everybody got everybody's point. Round number six, the LA Clippers had their introductory press conference with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, which I'm actually excited about those two pairing up. I don't know how anybody in any backcourt is ever going to score against those two. But Clippers chairman Steve Ballmer, the chairman is the new NBA word for owner, by the way. So he's the chairman of the Clippers. He is such a dynamic dude. Are you guys familiar with him?
Oh, yes.
Is he the one who at the press conference yesterday was like, I'm so excited. Woo!
Yeah. He's like, how cool is this? Holy moly.
Can we
play
it?
Just going around. Brent. Yeah, here's the clip. Brent, play the clip.
Yeah, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. Woo! I'm pumped. Come on.
So Steve Ballmer is a super excited guy. He's always been this way. Whenever he first bought the Clippers, he was going bananas. Whenever they had the introduction for Microsoft Word, I believe it was.
It was Microsoft Office,
even back in the day.
I think maybe it was Microsoft Office, but he's on
stage. Oh, it was Windows 95.
Yeah,
it was Windows 95.
That's it.
So the Windows 95 introductory press conference, whenever they unveiled Windows 95, Ballmer and Gates were going nuts, and Ballmer was absolutely all over the stage going absolutely crazy. And he reminded me of whenever you're a young troop and you walk into your building, is there anybody more that you hate than the super motivated E8 who greets you in the morning whenever you're there?
He's like, there,
it's
devil
a
dog.
Great day to be a Marine, Devil Dog. Woo! How are we doing this morning on this fine Marine Corps morning? And you just want to be like, shot the
I always loved that guy.
My sergeant major, when I was when I was in the S3 shop, I saw him a lot more than when I was a lieutenant. But every day when I would see him in the morning, it was most mornings. Hey, sir, what are you going to do today to attack the day?
Oh, yeah.
So I knew, like, I had to come with an answer. Whether it was complete BS or something I was legitimately going to do, I knew I had to come for an answer for Sergeant Major.
Yeah, Sergeant Major, I'm going to show them a PowerPoint's going to blow their dicks off.
Yeah, Sergeant Major, wait till you see this PowerPoint. It's so good.
Yep. I don't know. I like the Kool-Aid people. I like, if people could say it's corny, but there are leaders out there who do get, normally I'm rolling my eyes, who, if they're motivated enough, I do drink the Kool-Aid a little bit, and it makes me a little motivated.
Here's the difference with Steve Ballmer. It's genuine. You can always tell those NCOs who it's not genuine at all, and they think, like, they just need to be rah-rah. Steve Ballmer just seems to have a very big zest for life, so I don't mind it from him. He's genuinely excited about the LA Clippers. He was genuinely excited about Windows 95, so I appreciate it from Steve Ballmer.
All right.
Yeah, I just love the dude. I think that he would be a perfect example of that young, that really motivated. I think he is an example of guy who loves being in the military.
Yeah.
Has no hopes of reaching E8 or E9, knows they're a terminal E7, and has just completely embraced that life and is going to enjoy the last couple years that he has on active duty with his pals, with his troops, and things like that. Yeah. He's a fun dude to be around, and you much rather have that than a boss who's a hard ass that you never want to speak to ever again. Like, imagine working, you get to choose from being with Steve Ballmer and the Clippers, or that Russian oligarch who used to own the New Jersey Nets.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're picking Ballmer every time.
As I like to say, you can win with guys like that.
Before we get into save rounds and alibis, we're going to interview Liz from Hiring Our Heroes. Boots on the Ground is presented by our good friends at Starbucks, which, once again, we're going to beat you over the head with it. 25,000 military veterans and spouses have gotten jobs, they've gotten benefits, they've gotten educational benefits, they've gotten so much, and a sense of community just by working with Starbucks. Here's Liz O'Brien from Hiring Our Heroes. She's going to tell us about how to get a better job, what to look for, all kinds of things. Kate did that interview, and she did great. Here is Liz from Hiring Our Heroes.
For our Boots on the Ground segment today, I am joined by Elizabeth, a.k.a. Liz O'Brien. She's lived in Hawaii, Kansas, Missouri, Germany, over 7 places so far, including Washington, D.C. And is that where you're still at, Liz?
Yep, we are still in D.C., and I'm trying hard to never leave.
There you go. It's a good spot to be. Your husband is an Army major, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And yes, so you guys are down in D.C. We were actually just down there a few months ago and ended up having a terrific time. A little hot for my taste. But you've also raised 3 daughters, coached basketball, motivational speaker. You've served as an advocate for military spouses in the United States and Europe. And now you are the senior director of the Hiring Our Heroes Military Spouse Program, which is dedicated to measurably impacting military spouse unemployment and underemployment with Hiring Our Heroes. And I was wondering, I read a stat that the unemployment rate for military spouses is 4 times the national average. What are the factors that play into that?
Yeah, and when you think about the fact that it's 4 times the national average, it's just staggering, right? If the country was 4 times, creeping into 14-15%, we'd be in a state of recession. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but primarily we're looking at the active duty spouse who can move multiple times, sometimes 7 times in 8 years. And the biggest challenge is that most opportunities for interviews come from referrals, and every time we move, we lose our network. And so we have to rebuild that network every time. And then, you start looking at licensure and credentialing, and military families are 10 times more likely to move over state lines than civilian counterparts. So if you think about the fact, if I am a cosmetologist or hairdresser, that I have to recertify every time I move. And, not only is that a financial impact, but it takes a lot of time and energy. So it's not just our lawyers and doctors that are military spouses, but, it really runs the entire gamut when you start looking at certification and licensure.
Right. You're absolutely right. Frequent moves, that involves a ton of networking, and that's difficult to do when you don't know anybody. Certifications is something that I didn't even really think about. And I do think there's a ton of talk about the troops and when they move and when they get out and they're veterans looking for jobs and how tough that is. But I don't think we talk about enough the sacrifices that the spouses make and the things that they have to do and for their careers as they're moving all the time. And, you know, as a military spouse yourself, have you faced this with all? Because it says here you've moved over 7 times. And I know a lot of other spouses have had to do that, too. Have you faced difficulty and have personal experience with this?
I would say so, and I'd love to say that I was unique or a unicorn, but the fact of the matter is this is a challenge the majority of our spouses who want to work face every day, and I have the opportunity to represent them. I mean, I think my first career was coaching college basketball.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and as we started to move, you know, you could kind of see our journey across the country and around the world based on where I was coaching, but every time that I moved, I took a severe salary cut. And sometimes was taking a significant decrease in position. But at the time, I was just thrilled to stay in my chosen profession because that was my lifelong goal and dream. And then when we finally ended up in Germany, as we were moving back, I decided, you know, I had to take a hard look at what I was going to do because I'm just one of those people that needs to work and enjoys working for many reasons, not just the financial aspect, and had to figure out a different path in life. So that I could sustain an opportunity to move. And I can tell you hiring our heroes has really created that atmosphere. You know, when you think about the fact that we're housed at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and it's one of the most traditional institutions in the country, but Eric Eversole, who's our president, has created an unbelievable geographically dispersed workforce where 80% of our employees are active duty spouses, and the majority of them have sustained a move while working for us. It just really goes to show that if a leader is willing to take the time and invest the energy to figure out how to make portable and remote work opportunities exist, that it can be successful, especially when we choose to leverage technology today.
That's fantastic. And that's one of the things, we have a partnership with Starbucks here. And one of the great things is for military spouses, when they move, they have any Starbucks around that base, they have an in pretty much. You go to a new spot, you've already been working 3 years at this Starbucks, you go to the next one, you're good. It's like a built-in networking system, which is really cool. Have you seen other success stories from the Hiring Our Heroes military spouse program? What are some things that you provide for spouses?
Yep. And to touch on what you said about Starbucks, that model of being able to move across state lines and find a warm landing place has been integral in integrating so many of our spouses into their communities, right? So when you start looking about at the fact that many of our spouses and families live outside of the gates now, right? This isn't even our mother's and father's army or our grandparents' military. And we're living in communities where we don't feel connected, and we don't feel connected on the military side anymore. When you can get hired quickly by someone like Starbucks, it's impacting things on so many levels when you start thinking about mental health and wellness and stability and isolation. So what the model Starbucks has created is really having a much larger impact than just employment. But we recognize that hiring our heroes, we had to address several factors, and they had to be addressed at the community level. So we currently have 52 networks around the world, from Bahrain and Okinawa, you know, to Washington, D.C. and Honolulu, where spouses are meeting every month for professional development opportunities, and we're integrating our employment partners into those meetings. So whether it's informational interviews, resume review, technology opportunities like Salesforce provides, and then we're allowing spouses to have their network built. So as I move from Joint Base Lewis-McChord to Washington, D.C., I'm already connected to that network. And so we're seeing trends where we're now impacting the piece where traditionally spouses are unemployed for 4 months. So if they can get ahead of the curve and integrate it into that network at their next location, we're seeing changes in that now, not just because we've created these networks, but because our employment partners are participating in those networks. So it's we feel like we're starting to lay the groundwork for significant change. And then the other piece that we're excited about, and I've been pushing hard for it for 2 years, is we are launching our military spouse fellowship program. So our employment partners can take a military spouse, and sometimes our resume isn't traditional looking and has a lot of volunteer experience, but we come to work for a company for 6 months, or 6 weeks, and Hiring Our Heroes pays that stipend for the spouse because we can't have unpaid labor. Mm-hmm. And then after those 6 weeks, the company gets to decide you know, to if they can offer a military spouse a job. And we know that it works because we've already put 150 spouses through
150.
In Maryland and seen, and seen over an 80% offer rate on the employment side. So we're excited about that. We've launched the National Capital Region. I'm currently today, I just landed in San Antonio because we're going to launch in San Antonio tomorrow. So some innovative partners out there that believe in it, like Booz Allen Hamilton and Lockheed and Starbucks in the city of San Antonio. So
that's
we're getting
there. The fellowships definitely give opportunities to companies that might not originally give them a shot. It gives them a foot in the door, which is fantastic. I know when I first got out of the military, I had a fellowship through the Mission Continues that led to me eventually getting my first job out of service. So yeah, definitely a huge helpful thing, giving you an opportunity that you might not normally have. And especially for spouses, like you said, four times the national average is the unemployment rate. So definitely very cool that we have these measurable programs like Hiring Our Heroes where you can actually see the change. So I think you're doing fantastic work. If a spouse is listening right now, where can they find this program?
Yep, so they can head over to hiringourheroes.org. Click on the right side to the drop-down menu and hit Military Spouses, and you'll see a variety of offerings under there, including some great products that Starbucks sponsors and partners with us on, like Hiring 100,000 Spouses, which is a nationwide commitment to hire 100,000 spouses over 3 years. So we're excited about partnering with Starbucks on that particular initiative. And yeah, we already have 26,000 commitments to hire. So we're getting
there. Small feat. You're definitely getting there. That's fantastic. Check out Hiring Our Heroes if you're listening. If you're a military spouse, give them a shout. And Liz, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Final two questions. Favorite college basketball team since you were a coach?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with Hofstra University because that's where I played. And number two would be Army because that's where I spent a lot of time coaching.
There you go. Hofstra and Army, two solid choices.
Can I have two?
Yes, you can absolutely have two. Those are the top two. I love it. And then real quick, besides D.C., what was your favorite duty station?
Oh, Germany, hands down.
There you go.
They had to drag me out of there.
One of these days for Oktoberfest, I'm getting over there, giving it a whirl. But thank you again so much for your
time. All right, call me when you're going.
All right, let's go. Me and Liz are going to Oktoberfest. Hit us up. We'll be there this fall, Hiring Our Heroes celebration. All right, thank you so much, Liz.
All right, let's do some save rounds of alibis. We'll start with you, Conj. You got anything?
Yeah, real quick, number two, or two things. That story about retired Lieutenant General Caslin about him drowning a deer with his bare hands is making its rounds again on Task and Purpose. If you don't know that story, go to Task and Purpose and read about the time General Caslin drowned a deer with his bare hands.
Whew,
he told Chaps and I on the field a few years ago at Army-Navy, and it's just an electric story. And then number two, I feel like I do things sometimes, not on purpose, but just because it's my way, and you know, sometimes it's very officery. And I did something recently that I think would make you guys roll your eyes, and I just got the email notification that it's being delivered today, so it's what made me think of it. I got a new pair of Crokies. As we all know, Crokies are the little strap you put on your sunglasses. I got leather monogrammed Crokies.
You son of a bitch. You fancy. And he's going to Montauk this weekend. Oh, with his leather monogrammed Crokies and his boat shoes. Yes. All right. Very well. Mine, I just have a quick one. A while back, we had Marine and MMA fighter Kyle Guns Up. Remember him?
Yes.
The Marine with the huge Marine Corps tattoo. And ZBT listener Hank Goff brought this to my attention. He says, the meanest ginger west of the Mississippi is fighting this weekend.
And ZBT guest Hank Goff.
And guest, right. So double ZBT inception here. But Kyle Guns Up Stewart is going to be, he was just in a video on UFC News talking about how he carries the USMC flag into all his fights, and he's going to be fighting Saturday at UFC 240. So if you're watching it, just root him on. Make sure you root on Kyle Stewart. Hopefully he crushes it, but he was a dedicated dude. So
yeah.
Very cool for him, but that's all I got.
You ever see that movie Warrior? No?
No.
It's a good movie. Go check it out. But the one fighter, he's a Marine, and he had came out to the ring to the Marine Corps hymn. It was pretty awesome.
That's kind of like The Guardian, right?
Yes.
Cool.
A little better. Go ahead.
I got one. The badass Coastie who leapt aboard the Narco submarine a couple weeks ago. Coast Guard announced that he's going to get an award for valor, which he definitely deserves. I mean, that dude's going to be swimming in puss or cooch or whatever
or
he wants to.
Or dick or whatever.
Or dick or whatever. we're not going to judge either way. It's what he wants to do with his own mouth and groin.
And holes. Whatever the guy who jumped on the submarine wants to do with his holes, he's going to be – there's going to be a lot of holes.
When you open up the hole on a narco submarine, you get to do whatever you want to do, essentially, for the rest of your life.
With consent.
Of course. Always. With consent. Always with consent.
What an episode, guys. We got
– Yeah.
We got holes. All right.
We got holes. Sound the retreat.
Okay.